Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report with Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. We go to Paraguay, where the election just held was decided for the newly elected president, the president-elect, Santiago Peña, for the Colorado Party. However, news, Paraguayo Cubas, who placed third in Paraguay's presidential election, has been arrested following post-election protests. Cubas led protests to dispute Sunday's election, Sunday last, more than a week, and call for a recount, though international organizations said there was no reason to doubt the integrity of the vote. Ernesto, I start in puzzle about Paraguay and its stability over these years because it's a very close trading partner with Brazil, I understand. Brazil dominates the region because of its size. Is Paraguay something that there's an experiment in democracy, or is this unusual, Mr. Cubas's arrest, detention? How do you measure this?
Well, John, I think Paraguay is step by step becoming a real democracy. They were kind of a controlled democracy, controlled by certain elites for a long time after the long dictatorship of the 40s until the 80s. And with some jolts here and there, they are on the good path, I think. The great dilemma is how to turn Paraguay into a modern economy, not based on smuggling and illegal activities like it was for a large extent. And Brazil plays or should play a prominent role in that. During my term in office and President Bolsonaro, we tried to help a lot of Paraguay with industrialization, with productive legal activities. And the leadership of then President Mario Abdo in Paraguay was very important of that because he was committed to that. I'm worried that Brazil now under Lula will not help Paraguay on the good path. And this would be bad for the whole region because Paraguay could become again a hub for many illegal activities that it didn't cease to be, but that was curbed to a large extent. So I don't know. Paraguay needs a lot of economic and political support from Brazil to keep going on the right track. Well, I don't see that happening with Brazil under Lula. They seem to be, the Lula people seem to be allied with bad people in Paraguay as elsewhere.
Joseph, we come to Paraguay, and what is striking here is that when we spoke of this election and the result, you were pleased that there was a disruption in the pink tide, I think it's been called, to the left side, that Santiago Peña and the Colorado Party are clearly to the right of populism. However, the detention of a candidate for protesting, that's not a good direction, Joseph.
No, it's not. I mean, there's still going to be a lot of instability inside Latin America. We're seeing that everywhere. But I think it is telling that the Paraguayan voters decided not to go to the left, which is what the direction that most of Latin America has gone in recent elections. Five out of the last six presidential elections in Latin America have gone to leftist candidates. But they stayed with the establishment. They stayed with a conservative candidate, which is Santiago Peña. Now, he can potentially disappoint some, as conservatives have disappointed in the past, especially if he's not very clear on his policies. For instance, right after he won the election, he recognized Nicolas Maduro from Venezuela and Miguel Díaz-Canel from Cuba, and that drove a lot of caution from people that were more optimistic about his electoral victory. But I think in reality, what these if this is the beginning of a U-turn that Latin American voters are going to do because they're worried about the ramifications of these progressive policies that the leftist Latin American leaders are implementing everywhere from Colombia to Brazil to Chile to Peru and elsewhere, then they have to learn from the lessons of the past. And that the lessons of the past shows us that the conservative leaders in Latin America before had, I think, to me, in my opinion, two glaring weaknesses. One, that they didn't have a clear foreign policy, a clear geopolitical vision. They all tried to continue to trade with China while they continued to want to do business with the United States. That's not consistent in 2023. Neither is it consistent to try to buy armament from Russia at the same time to deal with U.S. Southcom, you know, given the war in Ukraine and other things. And I think that the new conservative class in Latin America, if Santiago Peña is the beginning of this, because remember, we have elections in Guatemala and Argentina this year, they need to learn from those mistakes and correct them quickly.
To Brazil, following the election of Lula da Silva, there was disruption in Brasilia of a large number of people crashing into the assembly building, empty at the time. But since then, there have been continuing investigations of the provenance of those protesters as and what drives them. Now we come to reports from Brazil that are, well, they require some explanation. For example, Olympic volleyball champion Wallace de Souza, banned for 5 years after writing a post on social media in which he appeared to endorse violence against President Lula da Silva, said on Friday last his punishment was disproportionate. This following a report most last week as well that the home of former President Bolsonaro was searched and his cell phone was seized by authorities, again, pointing to a connection in some fashion to the election of Lula da Silva and the question of its integrity. Ernesto, I come to you because a volleyball champion and the former president don't go together, but these all seem to be advanced by Lula da Silva. To what end? This keeps the population in boiling. It doesn't calm anybody down. So how does Lula da Silva gain by making gestures such as 5-year ban of a volleyball champion?
Well, John, I think the objective of the Lula government and the Lula team is to kill Bolsonaro politically. They are using all the instruments that they have. They are not able to do that with the protests of January the 8th, apparently, because evidence is emerging of at least negligence on the part of the Lula team, if not the participation in the organization through infiltrated elements. So they are trying other weapons. They use this pretext of suspicion that Bolsonaro faked his a vaccine certificate, and in order to raid his home, and they got his cell phone. Basically, they're fishing for anything, right? The vaccine card is a pretext. They got his phone, and his phone doesn't have a password, so they have access to everything that's there. And clearly, they have not found anything because this has been there has been some days already, and they would be all over the place if they had found something. So. Also, it's not in that piece of news, but they arrested the former aide-de-camp of Bolsonaro during his presidency, a lieutenant colonel, who probably they mean in connection with the vaccination card, but in order to extract something from him, apparently, to press him and extract something, and they couldn't. And in the case of the volleyball player, I think they want to signal to any Bolsonaro supporters that they will be treated as enemies. This is a question of the rule of law. Rule of law requires the justice to be equal to everyone, right? And many Lula supporters along the years have reached for Bolsonaro to be assassinated or for violence against Bolsonaro supporters. People have said, oh, Ernesto should be killed when I was in government. I know how it feels. And nothing happened to those people. Now, this volleyball player, okay, I don't agree with people preaching violence, but it's totally without parallel to what they did from the Lula camp. So they went to say, okay, the justice is not equal to everyone. Bolsonaro people are under the rule of law, and Lula people are not. Basically, that's the idea. So to kill Bolsonaro politically and to kill support for him, intimidating his supporters.
Joseph, we go to Ecuador, where there's been for some weeks a story circling that President Lasso is going to be removed or challenged or in some way inhibited by his own legislature. We have this most recently. Quito, the Oversight Committee of Ecuador's National Assembly, failed to muster up the votes to approve a report recommending against a vote to impeach President Lasso over embezzlement accusations. Now, there are enough double negatives in there, so I have to interpret. They were going to report not to impeach, but that report has now been delayed or derailed in some fashion. What is the opposition mission? What do they want? They want Lasso out of office, is that correct? And how does that gain them? Do they hold a new election then?
Not sure. I mean, I'm sure they want to delegitimize the presidency of Guillermo Lasso. I'm sure they want to also impeach him and get him removed from office. But more than anything, I think what some of these interested parties are looking for is to destabilize Ecuador to the point that you now have to then create radical changes inside the country. This is similar to what we saw in Colombia, to what we saw in Chile. The Chilean case didn't work out so well because they did get a left-wing president, a radical leftist, into office with Gabriel Boric, but they weren't able to change their constitution. I think they may try to do something similar in Ecuador, but modifying a bit, knowing that it doesn't always work out in their favor. But in Ecuador, the main guy behind the scenes has always been Rafael Correa, the former president. He's convicted, or I know he's been charged with, and I think he may even be convicted of criminal actions. He's in exile in Belgium, but he's very much involved in trying to create the networks and the narratives to be able to destabilize the Lasso government. And meanwhile, while all this is political fighting is happening, the country's going into chaos with organized crime. I mean, you have criminal groups from all over the world, Albania, Croatia, just everywhere in the world coming to Ecuador and pretty much turning it into the Wild Wild West. And so I'm really concerned about Ecuador, and I think that this may be the target of opportunity for the autocrats in the region, the next one at least.
We go from Ecuador to news from Chile. Ernesto, I read this from Reuters and ask for an interpretation because it appears that the whole continent is in turmoil. Chile's government said that 115 Venezuelan migrants who had been stranded on the border with Peru...
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.